if I come to know God, because notice, when we say contemplative love, this, of course, has to do with the mind. This has to do with the will. I love with my will and I contemplate with the mind. And because we're all rational beings, we cannot love what we don't know. The question before the house, therefore, is, where do I get this knowledge? In the Franciscan tradition, the principal source of this knowledge is not human effort, but divine grace. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean that a person can see, well, I won't open the book, or I won't study. God is God. He's got all kinds of grace. I'm sitting waiting. Let him pour it in. Well, you're waiting. He won't pour it in. So we must do something. But in terms of what the principal source of that knowledge is, it is grace. Infused, mystical knowledge. Next feature, faith as light and understanding. Let me tell you, these dozen or so features that I've listed here are not just casually picked out of, well, the hat that needs to be repaired that I'm embarrassed wearing. These are the result of years of reflection on Franciscan theology. It is quite possible to look on faith as mainly mystery, where we believe in humility, accepting on God's word what we don't understand. Is that true? It sure is. You name the mystery, and it's a mystery. There are many things, deep things, that we just don't comprehend. Well, that's not Francis. He would not deny that you cannot comprehend the Trinity, or the Incarnation, or the Real Presence. He said, well, of course you cannot. But that's not what I want my followers to think about. I want them to think about what they can understand. For Francis, faith is light. Francis did not coin this definition, but he could have. A mystery is not something we do not understand at all. A mystery is something we do not understand entirely. It's not something we know nothing about. It is something about which we don't know everything, but we can know plenty. All I can tell you, that single perspective can change your life. As I've been telling, especially contemplatives, when I preach to them or give them retreats, I tell them, if you're going to spend the 8, 10, or 12 hours a day in prayer, you better have something on your mind. Otherwise, you're going to be thinking in circles. Or you're going to be thinking about yourselves, and that's not meditation. That's Zen Buddhism. By the way, if you haven't heard of a good homemade definition of Zen, you know, I teach, as you know, I teach Buddhism to appropriate audiences. Zen Buddhism is meditation on the self. Honest, honest. Now, I'm sure it's a delightful enterprise for some people. But that's not Christian meditation, right? So I must know God better than I know Him now if I'm going to love Him the way I should. Faith gives me light, insight, penetration. Stages as purification, illumination, and perfection. Francis had no doubt that in the spiritual life there's such a thing as beginning. And though many of his followers were already fairly well advanced in virtue, nevertheless, he realized that all of us require to be purified, then enlightened, and then perfection, or the contemplative love comes only after I have especially been purified of my self-love. Now, we've all heard that triad, purification, illumination, and perfection. Let me tell you something, though. You read Francis, and especially those great minds like Bonaventure, for example, who knew Francis well, and analyzed him in a way that Francis could never have done himself. There was a great deal of illusion possible in the religious life. There's all kinds of pseudo-mysticism, all sorts of alleged sanctity, because, and how important it is to say this nowadays, for example, with the rage for Pentecostalism, how this needs to be said, that genuine Christian perfection, the contemplative love, which in Francis' vocabulary was sanctity, must, and there is no substitute, must pass through the stage of purification. And you do not, as for example, Father O'Connor, one of the leading Catholic Pentecostals in the nation, in his book, A Good Man, a good Catholic, he said, for too long we thought, with John of the Cross and Teresa of Avila, that to become a mystic, you must first be an ascetic. That to reach the gifts of prayer that they experienced, you must go through the long process of purification. Well, after 4 centuries, we've learned better. No, Father O'Connor, we have not learned better. And Francis, long before the modern instant mysticism became the vogue, tells us, you either go through these stages, or what you think is perfection, what you think is mysticism, is not. God, Francis will tell us, enters only a purified soul. And that means suffering, self-surrender, and sacrifice. Grace is divine indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And with this, I think I should finish, because I'm looking at the clock over there, 12 minutes to. Divine grace can be variously understood, as we know in theology. In now 700 years of Franciscan theology, this is the one feature of divine grace that we can thank the Franciscans for giving us: the stress on grace as the uncreated Spirit of God dwelling in the soul of man. Now we know the same word grace. Well, it's spelt the same way. can mean and does mean both God and the gift of God. Both are grace. But the one, of course, is the Creator himself, and the other is his creation. What then is divine grace? Well, you have to distinguish. In what sense do you mean? What is supernatural grace? That's the gift. What is actual grace? That's a gift. Supernatural grace is the permanent, abiding gift that we have when we're in God's friendship. Actual grace is the transient, periodic, and constant inspiration and illumination that God gives us. That's a grace. It's a gift. Supernatural grace is a creature. Actual grace is a creature. Ah, but in the Franciscan theological tradition, the only reason we've got sanctifying grace or receive actual graces is because God, the author of grace, first abides in the human soul. For Francis, one of the favorite passages in the Gospels is the promise of Christ of the Last Supper. If you keep my word, my Father will love you, and we will come and make our home in your soul. And finally, Christ, and this is almost fundamental to Franciscan spirituality, Christ is the God whom we are to imitate. Now, the word imitation has a variety of meanings, some that are totally irrelevant to our discussion. But when God became man, he did not obviously cease to be God. So it is God plus man, who then is Christ. What we directly imitate is Christ the man. But inasmuch as, and then the exemplarism of creation is at its highest in the humanity of Christ, the most perfect creation, which most perfectly exemplifies, manifests, shows, depicts, illustrates, makes knowable the divinity in the human nature of Christ. So that by imitating him, we are necessarily imitating the God who became man. It is in this sense that Christ called himself the Way. It is his humanity that is the via, the way, to his divinity, which is the life then that we possess by going, as it were, through Christ the man to Christ who is God. And with that, I think, reluctantly, we will leave St. Francis and now pick up St. Dominic.